Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Alien Talk Podcast, a program where we discuss all things about aliens and UFOs and where we push the limits of our understanding. We are Joe Landry and Lori Olford, your co-hosts, and we are glad to be here with you. Thank you all for joining us today. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, it's good to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yes, it is good to be here. And, you know, I have to say there's something about the content of our program of which I've been taking notice over the last few months. And I guess the same can be said for any podcast out there that dabbles in this kind of subject, you know, about UFOs and extraterrestrial life. And that is, given the state of the world today, and with all that we are constantly seeing in the news headlines everywhere, I don't think the idea of aliens coming here from another planet can really be considered the most bizarre thing to talk about, at least not anymore.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, probably 30 years ago or so, but I think our topics would be seen by a lot of people as being a little more, well, out in left field. But today in 2022, out in left field seems to be the norm.
Isn't that the truth? If we were to tell people 30 years ago about all that is going on today, I think they would give us a sideways stare and probably think we were reciting something corny from a post-apocalypse movie like, you know, Mad Max, or even worse, like Damnation Alley. Do you remember that one from the 70s?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think so. That's the one with George Peppard. And it's after a nuclear war wipes out all of civilization, and they're traveling across the country and fighting off a bunch of mutants, right?
Yeah, that's the one. It had John Michael Vincent and Paul Winfield and a whole bunch of other actors who you probably never heard of if you're under the age of 40.
Yeah, well, these last few years have definitely made it seem like, to me, like we might just be living through a really lousy science fiction movie. It seems like everything these days is, well, let's just say strange.
For sure. So talking about aliens just seems to fit right in, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, Lori, about 2 months ago, we did a show on Area 51 and how it is widely believed to be a secret installation in Nevada where top-level researchers have been working on the so-called black projects for the U.S. military. But part of that speculation also involves the idea that extraterrestrial technology is being reverse engineered out there.
Right. And of particular interest is the public statements that were made by physicist Bob Lazar, who was actually employed by the Defense Department to work on these projects at Area 51. Now, he divulged that there were all kinds of research and development going on to mimic alien propulsion systems, and went as far as to assert that they are working with a completely unknown and unheard of substance that is basically a fuel. He said it was called Element 115, and that could be it could be harnessed to give the capacity for very high speed motion by doing something weird. He said it could bend space time, which is something that a lot of us have a difficult time comprehending what that exactly even means.
Yeah, and unless you have a good understanding of what is meant by relativity, photon energy, quantum gravity, and space-time, or the space-time continuum, this all sounds like gibberish. Supposedly, this element 115, and we know like nothing at all about what element 115 actually is, but that it can be converted into element 116 by introducing a proton into its nucleus to increase the atomic number and atomic mass. And when this proton is split from element 116, it reverts back to element 115, and then a tremendous amount of energy is released in the form of photons, enough to induce a gravitational well that bends the fabric of space, as well as time. Time also, since the mathematical model of general relativity combines the dimension of time with the three dimensions of space.
So then, could the sightings of what are called the Tic Tac UFO somehow be related to this research, this testing and development that Bob Lazar was saying our government is carrying out? The Pentagon report that came out back in June of 2021, just last year, didn't confirm anything but said that the sightings in that fighter jet infrared video footage could be from beyond our world. You know, by now, I think most people have seen that. It has been shown on several news stations, on TV and internet sites. And of course, it's been covered on Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. So the first video that caused such a spark throughout the community of UFO enthusiasts and eventually throughout the mainstream media was the incident in November 2004 in which F-18 Super Hornets, very fast fighter jets, by the way, were scrambled from the USS Nimitz to intercept a bogey after the USS Princeton detected some unidentified craft on their radar that descended 80,000 feet in less than a second. Like, wow. The pilots were Alex Dietrichs and her squadron commander, David Fravor. They were the ones who were dispatched to it. Now, they were interviewed countless times about the incident, even on CBS on the program 60 Minutes, where Fravor said, and this is what he quoted, "I don't know who's building it, who's got the technology, who's got the brains, but there's something out there that was better than our airplane." He also told them that the tic-tac-shaped object had no wings, it had no markings, no exhaust fumes. The Dietrichs simply stated, "I don't consider myself a whistleblower. I don't identify as a UFO person."
And there have been other encounters with these tic-tac-shaped objects by other pilots. Apparently, the Chilean Air Force comes into contact with them on a pretty frequent basis. There's even a report from them that their pilots witnessed a very large cigar-shaped object over the South Pacific that had the length of 5 cruise ships. And that even from its massive size, even as big as it was, it could zip around the sky like a hummingbird. Last year, their defense ministry has released video footage of almost a dozen of these kinds of sightings.
Yeah, that's crazy. So with the 2004 incident, naval squadrons with the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz were on a training mission off the Southern Californian coast when the F-18 pilots encountered it. They observed a smooth, white, oval, or oblong-shaped object, and they said that it looked like a large tic-tac fragment traveling at a very high rate of speed over the ocean waves. And this thing maneuvered like nothing seen before. Now, the pilots couldn't match its speed as they were going between Mach 0.5 and Mach 1, so just a little over half the speed of sound. It was the onboard video surveillance, the forward-looking infrared, or FLIR, that was able to follow the object by keeping it in its field of view as it was traveling too far away from them. But this thing also defied the laws of physics by stopping suddenly and then going in straight vertical direction. This, of course, would induce a G-force that would kill anybody. This object did things to where no human would survive inside of it. And you know as well as I do, Joe, from all of the vehicle wrecks we responded to, that people die in crashes of only 35 miles per hour. This is because there are three things that occur. So one, the vehicle continues in motion when it hits something by how fast it was moving. Two, the driver continues to move until slowed down or stopped by a seatbelt or windshield. And three, internal organs are still moving until they are stopped by the interior linings of the body, which unfortunately for some individuals have protruded out of. So the question then becomes, could a drone do these types of maneuvers? As advanced as we are, I don't think we, or any country for that matter, has any drone type vehicle that fast, that sophisticated, that size and that advanced to where it can drop 80,000 feet in 60 seconds and stop on a dime. Yeah, I'm pretty certain it was otherworldly.
Yeah, it seems based on what is seen in that footage, and I'm giving a disclaimer here as based on how it appears. The footage may depict it not exactly as it really is. Video evidence is often not perfect. But yes, it seems that the Newtonian laws of the law of inertia is not in play here. What you alluded to is the laws of conservation of momentum and conservation of energy. Motion is a vector property in which a change in direction is caused by a force, also a vector. and it acts in a way to change the velocity. In other words, instantaneous stopping, starting, and turning is not possible. Everything works as a function of time. You can't go from 50 miles per hour to 20 miles per hour without first going to 45 miles per hour, and then to 40, and then 30, and then down to 20. You can't travel forward and then make a turn at a right angle. There is centrifugal and centripetal forces that change the vector directions of velocity and acceleration. And this is a function of time that is shown in many calculus equations for anyone who's ever taken calculus courses.
Right. So whatever the tic-tac is doing, it's following principles of science that we have yet to come to know, which is not that hard to fathom. Consider all that we've learned about things like quantum mechanics or cryogenics and superconductivity, even computing and nanoelectronics. These concepts were non-existent to people 100 years ago. They were still waiting to be discovered by scientists. So it makes you wonder what other things are out there waiting to be unveiled. By careful research that will change our technology. Just like how in the year 1900, it was impossible for a large ship constructed of metal weighing over 300 tons to fly up high above the clouds and go halfway around the world. People would have said it was complete fantasy and that there is no way it could ever be pulled off. They would have said it would violate the laws of physics. And they would be correct for what they knew at their time. But then not even 70 years later, we have the Boeing 747, one of the largest airplanes ever built, as a common sight in the skies everywhere. And nobody doubts it or questions it or says it violates the laws of physics. So today, people may say that things like perpetual motion and light bending are impossible, because we have yet to discover new facts about science that show that it is very much possible.
Indeed. And that is the great thing about the methods and processes of science. It is that they allow for constant discovery, and they allow for new ideas to replace old ones if they no longer provide a correct or plausible explanation for what we learn. This is one of the important features of science, as we see with what is called the standard model. According to physicists at CERN in Geneva, Switzerland, this is what describes how fundamental particles of matter and fundamental forces make up the universe, but is still yet incomplete. And they concede to that. As such, the standard model accommodates for new laws that may still be hidden within the nucleus of the atom or in the unseen reaches of the cosmos.
Indeed. And technological changes are constantly happening. And within the last 50 years, we've seen advances being made at a breathtaking pace. Not only that, but the discoveries that have been made in science since, say, the time of Albert Einstein have literally changed our lives, completely changed them, and have altered the way we look at the universe. Our understanding of the properties of nature and of our place within all of it has been forever changed in the span of less than a century.
That's for sure. Now, one of the branches of theoretical physics that has seen a lot of breakthrough research is that of quantum mechanics. It was really something that started back in the 1920s by guys like Erwin Schrödinger, Werner Heisenberg, Niels Bohr, and Paul Dirac, and of course, many others. And it is a theory to explain the properties of some atomic particles and how they don't follow what are known as classical laws of physics. This is where we see matter turning into electromagnetic waves, and a particle can be at one point in space and then instantaneously disappear and reappear at another point. This is all different from what is called general relativity, which involves gravity. So to clarify, special relativity is what Einstein put forth in 1905 to show the unification of space and time and the mathematical interchangeability of matter and energy, as is illustrated in that famous equation we've all come across and heard of. It's E equals MC squared. It was special in that it assumed a special case of space being flat. He later modified this theory in 1915 to include the force of gravity as being a function of space, having curvature relative to the mass of the body which it occupies. So just so everyone knows that E equal MC squared stands for energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. That's the formula.
We don't have to tell you that this is all pretty complicated stuff, but Einstein already demonstrated this theory in 1919 when he predicted that the gravity of the sun, which of course has tremendous mass, would curve the fabric of space such that light would bend as it travels through it.
Right. As Peter Coles explains in a 2014 article in First Science, it was a total solar eclipse that was to occur that year. And it did in May of 1919. And he knew that background stars, that is, Einstein knew that background stars, which normally could not be seen in the daytime with the sun being too bright, would then be visible when the sun was blocked by the moon. And he knew that if the stars were in a position aligned behind the sun, were to shift in such a way that they could be seen, that would mean that the light from those stars would have been bent around the sun in order to become visible. And this is exactly what happened. His predictions were true, and also his predictions about gravitational time dilation have also held up within his theoretical framework, in which nanosecond differences in time have been measured with atomic clocks placed at different elevations along the Earth's surface. This means that time goes faster as distance between two bodies increases, as the theory of relativity would predict.
So what does all this theoretical stuff have to do with the Tic Tac? Well, what has been seen by witnesses is that many UFOs or UAPs, whatever you want to call them, move about in ways that are impossible through classical physics, but are explicable if you consider they may have harnessed some capability to travel using quantum physics by finding a way to bend space, as Einstein proposed. That does happen with objects having a lot of mass. So if space and time are not linear, but are curvilinear, as the theory of relativity suggests, then when with enough energy, something can warp the fabric of the space-time continuum and seem to move very fast, perhaps even close to the speed of light.
Right. And we see with the theory of relativity that the speed of light is a constant value for all observers in the universe, regardless of their motion with respect to one another. So perhaps this conversion of atomic mass from element 116 to element 115 is the key to obtain the photon energy needed to warp the fabric of space in such a way that very high speeds are possible. All of this is very hypothetical, of course. As of now, there is no proof that elements 115 and 116 even exist, aside from Lazar's statements. But if it does exist, then anyone, human or alien, could possibly develop the technology to apply it to a specially designed engine of a spacecraft. Then perhaps the velocity and maneuverability like that reported with the Tic Tac sightings could indeed be obtained.
Maybe. So to hear a Pentagon spokesperson say that they are unsure what it is and that it could be of human design is, I believe, a load of crap. there were two other videos taken by fighter jets back in 2015, which the government now refers to as unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP for short. Now, the New York Times reported that the UFO task force was expected to release findings that may involve vehicles made from materials not of this planet. Astrophysicist Eric Davis has been a consultant for the program since 2007, and he told the Times that he gave a classified briefing to the Defense Department agency as early as March of 2020 regarding off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. So, you know, why don't they just come out and say it? Like, we are not alone. I mean, they pretty much disclose to us that we are not alone because of these Navy FLIR system videos. Yet they still won't just come out and say it. I think it was disclosure in a way, but not full disclosure, because full disclosure will be straight up, hey, intelligent life, alien life exists on a planet called so-and-so, and we've been visited from time to time by extraterrestrials throughout history. That will be full disclosure, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I know we stated in previous episodes that the U.S. military is at least 30 to 40 years ahead of our society in advanced aeronautics, but can this Tic Tac be a technological marvel by any of our world superpowers? I don't think so. And here's why. Even though we are very advanced in today's terms, even the U.S. has a very long way to go in order to get us to this level of technology, I believe. We must also realize that this Tic Tac object had a much earlier appearance back in 1964. Now, at that time, it was witnessed by a police officer in New Mexico, and that was Officer Lonnie Socorro. He was en route to a traffic wreck when he saw a similar object, much like the Tic Tac. However, he didn't compare it to a Tic Tac. He said it looked more like the shape of an O and looked whitish. It was seen hovering over the land with two beings standing outside of it, looking like small children or big kindergarten type people dressed all in white. So even way back in 1964, we have an object similar in appearance to, you know, today's Tic Tac incident.
And of course, since Tic Tac breath mints didn't come about until 1969, this word wouldn't be part of his lexicon or anyone else's for that matter, because it just wasn't yet in existence. So it would definitely have been called something different. Tic Tac is just a colloquialism.
Yeah, and that's true. Yeah, but now let's go back even further to 1954. But this time in Florence, Italy. It was during the middle of a football game, that being a soccer game for those in the U.S., when everyone stopped, including the players, to look up in the sky above them. Now, the statements from various witnesses were very intriguing. According to an article by the BBC, it was dated back October 24th, 2014, one spectator said it was something that looked like an egg that was moving slowly. He even described some form of glitter coming down from the sky. Another witness said they were moving very fast and then just stopped. He described them as being more like the shape of cigars. Now, people were astounded by what they saw, that they actually witnessed firsthand what all the UFO talk was about. Now, in reference to the so-called glitter, there were more reports of white stuff that looked a lot like snow that covered rooftops of houses in Florence. It was said to have lasted for about an hour and then sublimated away, just disappeared without even melting. Now, of course, no one knew what the snowy substance had to do with the objects in the sky. Supposedly, there was an older man who reported to see shiny balls moving at a high speed towards the dome of the big cathedral in Florence. You know, that famous one commissioned by the Medici family?
Yeah, the Medici family.
Yeah, the Medici family during the Renaissance?
Yes, the Santa Maria del Fiore by Filippo Brunelleschi, the architect. Possibly the most beautiful cathedral in the world, at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, that same article by the BBC explains that some of those samples of that substance were collected and then analyzed in a laboratory at the University of Florence. Spectrographic data showed that it contained calcium, magnesium, silicon, and boron, and was deemed not to be radioactive, and no conclusions were made about it. Some skeptics even said that the samples could have just been the residue from spider webs, and the samples were destroyed in a testing process, and there is no other evidence.
But Joe, doesn't this story remind you of that painting of snow falling in Rome in the middle of summer? I think we described that a few months ago in our episode about UFOs and ancient art.
You're right. I do. It's Da Panicale's painting, Miracle of the Snow, and it's in the Basilica of St. Mary Maggiore. It was painted in 1428 to commemorate a very unusual spectacle that is said to have occurred in the 4th century AD, in which snow fell upon the equestrian hill during the month of August. it shows the sky filled with these strange disks, about a dozen of them. So you have to wonder what the association is between these things shown hovering above the ground and the appearance of snow during a summer in Rome, no less. Now, let's consider how moisture condenses at the apex of a shockwave that forms in the air when an aircraft breaks a sound barrier. You know, we've seen in many photographs of fighter jets hitting Mach 1, which is the speed of sound, and you see these disc-shaped or ball-shaped clouds forming right in front of them. And this is caused by the rapid heating of air from compression as the aircraft is accelerating very fast. As the shockwave passes, the air expands and then rapidly cools to cause condensation of water droplets. And if the temperature is below freezing, then ice crystals will form. What is there? What if there was a whole fleet, say a whole armada of UFOs, such that they practically fill up the whole sky? And what if they all accelerated out of sight at an unthinkable speed, like gone in a flash? Would it be possible that the rapid compression and an expansion of moist air by so many of these objects cause condensation in the form of ice crystals, in which snowflakes might be seen falling gently to the ground? Could that be the connection in the painting by Da Pinacoli between the discs in the sky and the snow on the ground? Could the discs that have been witnessed centuries ago be the same as the Tic Tacs being reported in present times?
You know, there is a good chance that that just might be the case. That's a good theory. And I mean, the disc, the egg, the cigar, the Tic Tac, they may all just be picture words for the same kind of object. There is an older UFO report from yet another U.S. Navy officer, that being Admiral Frank H. Schofield. He was the commander-in-chief of the Pacific Fleet in the 1930s. But when he was younger, as a lieutenant in 1904, he was aboard the USS Supply. That's 118 years ago. But he gave an account that he and other sailors witnessed three remarkable meteors, as they called it. He claimed they were bright red in color and that they flew under the clouds and were headed in the direction of the ship. Then he said the so-called meteors looked like they were soaring back past the clouds and away from Earth. Now, the biggest one was egg-shaped. These strange lights were seen for more than 2 minutes. Something tells me that if then Lieutenant Schofield was alive today and saw those remarkable meteors, he might just very well say that they look like Tic Tacs. Who knows? Now, there was also a blogger named Cheryl Costa who did her own research into how many egg-shaped UFO sightings there were, which included the state of New Mexico. Now, within a period of 17 years, from 2003 to 2017, she found a minimum of sightings in 2003 and a maximum of sightings in 2017, averaging around 74 sightings a year. The peak years were in 2004, 2008, and then 2012, 2014, and then 2017. So in Costa's study, which is in an article with Syracuse New Times, dated November 28, 2018, if you want to look at, check it out, it was in New Mexico where the Lonnie Socorro incident had occurred way back in 1964. That state alone, New Mexico, had 1,707 UFO sightings of all kinds of shapes, but only 20 of them were reported as being egg-shaped and were seen in the counties of Bernalillo. They had five there. Then there was McKinley with three sightings. Donna Anna had three. Santa Fe had three. Chavez had two. Luna, one. Caudron, one. De Rio Arriba, one. San Juan, one. Now, remember, these are only egg-shaped ones. The count of 1,707 must have also included the saucers, the cigars, the balls, and the triangles.
And that's just in one state within a 17-year span. And that doesn't even go all the way to 2020 or 2021. Now, of course, we know that New Mexico is a real hotbed for aerial phenomena.
Yes, it is. Now, I, Now, I can recall while living here in Arizona, and I believe it was either December of 2013 or 2014, as I was hanging up Christmas lights with my youngest daughter, seeing octagon-shaped objects. Now, as I was reaching up to hang the lights from my ladder, as I looked past the roof, the edge of the roof, something caught my eye straight above, like in the clouds. I saw a quick glimpse of what looked like three octagon-shaped objects flying toward the west in a formation, traveling so fast that I could see the white streaks from the edging of the octagon sides, and then they disappeared. Now, I looked down at my daughter and I said, "Do you see that, baby?" And she nodded her head. And you know, now this was in broad daylight,
He's still there, Lori. I think you were saying something about the you're talking about the objects you saw in broad daylight. You still there?
Hey, Joe, are you?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, you're back. You were talking. Yeah, can you hear me?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah. You were saying that you saw in broad daylight the octagonal shaped objects.
Oh yeah. Yes, I lost you there for a second. we can we have all this great technology, but yet
this podcast is all based on the reliability of technology,
I know.
Folks, we do have glitches every so often, but you were saying that you witnessed the like a formation of octagonal shaped objects in broad daylight.
It was and they looked like how the moon looks when you see it in the blue during the day, you know, like that dim whitish,
right,
almost see-through appearance. But anyway, I couldn't get it out of my mind, and I'm curious now if someone else had witnessed that same kind of UFO. I also wonder if what I saw was the same thing those Navy pilots from the USS Nimitz saw back in 2004.
It's really hard to say whether or not the shape is even important with these kind of craft. We know that airplanes are not all the same shape and size. So why would UFOs? Some may be oval, like a disc or a tic-tac, and some may be polygonal. A lot may just simply be the perspective of the observer. But I think the theme of this egg-shaped description is a peculiar one, as this calls to mind something from mythology. The egg is a potent symbol, just like that of blood and of fire and of snakes. It's loaded with esoteric meaning. We all know that it represents ideas like birth, fertility, the regeneration of life. But we find in religious history that it holds some more mythical truth to it.
Yeah, so I recall that Ancient Aliens aired a show once about something called the cosmic egg. I don't know if you saw it, but it was in season 11, I believe it was episode 6 to be exact, and it was about how an egg, or the representation of an egg, is connected with the idea of the center of the earth, or the center of the universe, or the center of God's creation. There are relics and monuments with egg-like inscriptions on them in places like China, India, Portugal, and the southwestern United States. Some of these are glyphs depicting people being being inside of the eggs. It's believed to be a sacred thing and connected to the arrival of
we drop that again, buddy. What he was saying is that these are these eggs, as seen in some of these cultures, are believed to be sacred things connected to the arrival of extraterrestrial beings. And now we got to wonder, could this...
Joe, you bet.
I'm still here. It's okay. Yeah. This
I lost you again.
Yeah, again, folks, the podcast is based on the reliability of technology, and sometimes it goes south on you.
I don't think we've had it this bad. But okay. Yeah, so, I mean, could this tic-tac...
Yeah, could a tic-tac and other descriptions mentioned Bede's cosmic eggs, right?
Right.
And yeah. So a lot of Eastern mythology tells of how everything at one time had hatched out of what is often referred to as the primordial egg. And we also find this with the gods of India, Egypt, and Greece as coming into existence out of an egg. And this ties in with a lot of the creation stories of how the world was born out of something else. And that something else is conceptualized as an egg. Now, Carl Jung wrote a lot about the significance of the egg and the psychological importance to the symbolism it has served in our consciousness of the self. In the Red Book, he says, God is in the egg. Actually, modern cosmology has somewhat adopted this notion with the Big Bang Theory, which maintains that 14 billion years ago, all of the matter of the universe was confined to a singularity and then expanded from this initial state to a point where protons and neutrons coalesced to eventually form atoms, thus a sort of hatching of an egg, if you will.
Well, like much of the symbolic meaning of these things, they derive from people's collective experiences with them, thus forming cognitive associations within the mind, becoming picture words. It could be that significance of the egg is found in mythology because of the impression left upon the ancients when they saw egg-shaped spacecraft, the same shape as Tic Tac, and perhaps then witnessed alien beings emerge from them to make first contact. Much like the Socorro incident. Could it be that the encounters of bodily forms coming out of what they would have described as an egg have been recorded in our oral traditions as the egg being, you know, the source from which all things come?
Yes, even God, i.e. the aliens, just as Jung had said. So there is a psychic connection here with the appearance of Tic Tac objects in the sky and the mythical significance of the egg. As we've explained, they are nothing new to the human race. They have always been with us, appearing and disappearing in the skies above. They seem to be as immemorable as the world itself. So that wraps up for today. We apologize for the technical glitches there, folks. but that happens with internet and connections and any kind of recording. As it is, this is our 30th episode of Alien Talk Podcast, and we now conclude season 3. Like we normally do at the end of a season, Lori and I are going to be on a hiatus for a week and get our program schedule and topical material into order. And we'll resume in 2 weeks on January 23rd with the start of season 4.
Yeah, this podcast has grown in a way that you and I really didn't expect it would, huh?
That's for sure.
Yeah, in less than 9 months, we've reached 21,000 downloads now in over 2,200 cities across 90 countries. So a big thank you to all of you everywhere for making this show a success. It's a privilege to be able to connect with so many of you in so many different places. So a big shout out to Los Angeles. You're the highest of number downloads that's come in from you folks out there. So thanks so very much, everyone.
And also a big shout out across the pond to the good folks of Glasgow, Scotland. You guys have given us the highest number of downloads from outside of the U.S. So thank you very much for your support. We love you all.
That's right. So we look forward to being back with you all again in about 2 weeks as we prepare our season 4 lineup. We do not want to disappoint any of you and hope that you all enjoy our episodes and continue to listen in, as we will start off with the mystery of crop circles. They're found all over the world. Are they merely hoaxes elaborately carried out by mischievous pranksters, or are they important messages from visitors from another planet or even another dimension? We'll explore that next time we join you.
Yeah, the designs and shapes of crop circles are, I think, absolutely amazing. So whoever is responsible for making them are nothing short of artists. The question is, are they artists from here or from beyond? It should be a very interesting show. So take care and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For everyone, everywhere around the world, good thoughts, good words, good deeds. And remember, stay curious. There's a lot to be curious about.
Yes, there certainly is. So have a great couple of weeks, everyone. And until next time, stay safe out there. And so long for now.